Good afternoon, and hello to all Beth family, our friends, and our neighbors. So glad to be able to share with you in another one of our podcast gatherings. And certainly we appreciate the fact that you're coming out to join us on this gathering. And we thank God just for the opportunity to again together with you in this podcast. Thank y'all, Sister Francia and Linda Robert and Cheryl. All right, I see y'all trying to give everybody a few moments to kind of chime in and get connected. And before we get into the prayer and get our service began, Sister Rita, thank you for joining us this afternoon also. And sorry we can't be there, and Carla coming in, be with there with y'all in physical community, but we're glad to be with y'all in an audio community. Gene, amen. Thank you for coming in and joining. We're about ready to get started. And hopefully, and we pray that God will be with us, and if, so we can really have a special time in God. You can be encouraged, and God can do make a move in your life. Sister Corliss, thank you for coming in. Mika, all right, thank y'all for coming in. Good to see, good to see all of you are connected with us upon this afternoon. All right, we are about ready to begin, and today we, because it's the third Sunday, we're going to have Gabriella to do our prayer. So we thank, I'm getting her connected. All right, Gabby, you there?
Yes.
All right. Gabby's going to do a prayer.
Okay. God, we first come to you just thanking you for this day. Thank you for waking us up this morning, and thank you just for being the amazing God you are. Even though we are physically gathered today, God, we still come to you expecting a powerful word. Please remove all distractions around us, God, and help us to give you our full attention and to fully be able to listen to the word today, God. We pray for those who are sick. We lift Brandon up to you specifically, God. We pray that for him and anyone else, that you would show them your healing power, God, and help them to regain their strength. And for anyone who might be grieving a loved one right now, God, remind them that you are their strength and comfort them like only you can. You said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us, God. So please help us to continue to feel your presence while we're in this pandemic, God. We thank you for everything you've done, God, and everything you're doing right now in the midst of all the craziness going on in the world, God. And we just ask that we would just hear you today, God, and it would be a great word and it would really touch. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank Gabrielle for that prayer today. Appreciate her joining in with us. And okay. And now we're ready for the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, wherever you are, and take your copy of God's Word out or on your device with God's Word on it, and turn again to the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letter. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, or false first letter to the Thessalonians, and chapter 5, beginning at verse 23, we'll begin to read there. Just before we get into that, we also just want to invite you to join us in prayer for Sister Corliss Calvin and her family. She lost her sister this week, so we want to be in prayer for her and her family. And we'll give you more information about that via app or whenever we get the information. And I'm sure it also be a text that goes out to that particular time. But be in prayer for that family. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. We appreciate that. Thank all of you again for joining in. This morning, we entitled this afternoon's message, Won't He Will? Won't He Will? All right. Amen. And now, if you're not familiar with that phrase or colloquialism from the African-American church experience, we'll kind of share it with you and make you kind of a better understanding of that just a little later. But basically, if you look at verse 24, it says, He who called you is faithful, who also will do it. And I just want to tell you just quickly, when we say won't he will, it's just a paraphrase of that particular verse. And we'll get back and share just a couple of things about that later. But let's just get started. We want to begin today with a review. And I'm probably being more of a teaching mode than a preaching mode today. But I think you'll still be encouraged. Let's think about now, in order for us to kind of get a proper understanding of today's passage, we got to kind of look back to last week and what we shared with you last week. If you remember, last week we shared about the discipleships, and we looked at three discipleships. We said that these ships are the one that can carry believers from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. And we went to tell you that these ships were leadership, fellowship, and worship. Amen. Those were the three ships. And I kind of, as we introduced the message last week, we was kind of using as an example of the three ships that the Queen Isabella commissioned for Columbus to go and find a better passage to India. Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria. So today, if we look at those ships, they were sailing ships. And regardless of how much money that was invested in them, how beautiful they were, one thing about a sail ship can't do anything without wind. It has to have God's wind in order to fill the sail and allow it to move where the crew would have it move. So just like those ships needed wind, God's wind to move. And I want to tell you that just like Columbus ship, that all those things that we discussed last week, leadership, your respect for leadership and how you respond to leadership, and fellowship and how you're responsive in fellowship, and worship, how you worship regardless of your situation. In order for those ships to take you from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity, it's not, you can't do that. You just like those ships Columbus had, you can't do that in your own strength. You can only do that as you're leaning and depending and trusting in God. Spiritual maturity is kind of works kind of opposite of what we might say is the aging or the maturing, the physical maturing process. Most time as we mature physically, we become more independent. Amen. The baby is totally dependent upon the mom, dad, or whoever family members is caring for it. And as it grows older, it becomes less dependent. It's able at some point to feed itself, to walk by itself, and then to speak and communicate. And it goes on and on until it that baby is school age and learns to read and write and moves through school and high school and the college and hopefully becomes a productive adult. And they have more independence. That's that physical maturation process. It becomes more independent. But now it's opposite that when we look at it from a spiritual point of view. You don't become more independent, but as you grow spiritually, you become more dependent on God. You need God more, amen. As you grow in Him, you need Him just more, God, in order to move to be the person that God would have you to be. And that's the reason why to be His disciple is not something we can do on our own. And that's why as we look into the passage begins by talking about God. Because the only way we can accomplish what we talked about in verses 12 through 22, we play a role, but we cannot do it without God. God is really the one that's doing it through us. Amen. So everything that happens as we grow to become more Christ-like is not possible to do those things on your own. You can only do those things as you are empowered by God and you have God's support and a move of God in your life. It's the only way you can move from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. It takes God. And look at that. And verse 23 began, says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely." That word sanctify or sanctification had to do with spiritual growth, moving forward, moving from the shore of spiritual infancy, moving to be a more mature, a more Christ-like person and Christian. That's what it's all about. So you're making a move and you're growing in Christ and you're trending toward Christ-likeness in your life. The only way that's possible is because of the God of peace. I just want to talk about the God of peace just for a second. I think it's a great name from the God of peace. Peace that does not mean just an absence of war, a conflict, but it basically means a presence of well-being. Amen. When one has peace, one has a sense of well-being under the skin. And you can have that sense of well-being and everything being all right in your world, even though your circumstances outwardly are not conducive to that same well-being. That's why often people without Christ, without God in their life, are unable to understand that peace, because there's a peace that comes from inwardly God's presence. He's the God of peace. And I think that He's called the God at peace first because He, in order to enjoy this peace, we must have peace with God. How do we have peace with God? We have peace with God through Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, through whom also we have access by faith into grace with which we stand and rejoice in the hope of his glory. We have peace with God. We were once at enmity with God, not because of God, but because of us. We didn't want him. We decided to commit eternal treason and say we can be God, our own God, and we didn't need him anymore. And because we committed that and sinned against God, we became disconnected from God. And now, because sin, as it always does, separated us from God. There was a separation because the very nature of God cannot has to separate itself from sin. So in order for us to get back and have peace with God, Christ had to make a sacrifice out on Calvary and pay the price for our sin and bring down that wall that was separating us from God. Now, because of his sacrifice and our faith in that sacrifice, we have peace with God. So because of the God of peace, we have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, that's only the beginning, because by having peace with God, it allows you also to experience the peace of God. Amen. Now, those two different things. There's peace with God, but there's also the peace of God. Listen, in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Once you get peace with God, you can enjoy the peace of God. And the reason why we as believers can enjoy the peace of God, because those things that will take away our peace, we put it in God's hands. Now, when we were at enmity with God and we didn't have the proper relationship with God, then we could not experience the idea of putting it in God's hand. So whenever calamity came into our circumstances, it brought us disease or dis-ease and took away our peace because we tried to handle it on ourselves. And you can't handle it by yourself. But now that God is on our side, and I do want you to know that God is on our side, because Romans says, and Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then it goes on to tell you how much God is for us. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's for you. I want that to be a word of encouragement today. Whatever you're going through, God is for you. The God of peace is on your side. He's for you. He's supporting you. He's standing with you. And when God is with you, who can be against you? If you have any doubt about God being with you. Just think about, if he wasn't with you, would he have sent his son to die for you? But he's for you. And if he sent his son, he would take care of you with all of his resources. What a great God we serve. In the world we live in, it's good to know that there is a God who is with you, and to enjoy the peace that comes from that God. So the God of all peace and can give us, because he sent his son to die, causes us to be at peace with him, and we can enjoy the peace of God. So we have that sense of well-being, that sense of, I don't, whatever happens, it's going to be all right, because God's with me. He's supporting me. I got all the resources of the one that created and sustained the vast universe on my side. And this God loves me, and he's there for me, so I can have peace. Even in the most dire of circumstances, you can enjoy the peace of God if you would trust in him. So that's what we mean by having the peace of God, is to be there. Now, let me get back with you. The key point that I want you to take home, that I want you to grab hold to, that I want you to understand, is the journey, the spiritual journey from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity is not something you do on your own. It's something God does in you, in your life. He's doing it through you. He's the one that puts his wind in the sails of your discipleship. He's the one that has to do it. It's him. And I want to make sure you caught hold of the fact that it's not you, but it's him. Now, look, the scripture says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And I told you that word sanctify, it just means that he works in your life to grow you. You become more Christ-like. To be sanctified is means every day you becoming more and more like Christ. When people look at your life, they see a greater reflection of him. And he says he's going to set, and the Bible says that God is going to sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. Listen, the God of peace gave his son so you can be at peace with him. And then you can enjoy the peace of God, because you know the one that created the vast universe and sustains it daily is on your side. And then he goes on and says, this same God, as you're being disciple, as you're growing as a disciple, as you're learning as a disciple, is the one that's involved in your life, that's taking you on this voyage to spiritual maturity. You're not doing it on your own. And he says he's going to do this with your wholeness of your life. He wants your whole life, your spirit, your soul, in your body. Now, I just want to work with that spirit, soul, and body for just a second. When a person, because of Adam's fall, we often say when Adam, when we talk about Adam's fall, or Adam and Eve's fall in the garden, when man fall by mankind's fall by eating of the forbidden fruit, in the fall we lost it all. Man was made in the image of God so that he could have communion with God and rightly relate to God. God had gave man a mind so that man could know God, gave him a heart so man could love God, and gave man a will so he could obey God. And as he had all these, he could rightfully walk with this God that was with him. But, my brothers and sisters, after the fall, man lost it all. So man, after the fall, he's born in a way that his mind can't really know God. His heart can't love God, and his will can't obey God, because all that was lost in the fall of mankind. You're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. We're spiritually dead. But what happens? What we lost in the fall, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that's not the end of the story, because on Christ, on Calvary, his death on Calvary and his subsequent resurrection, on Calvary, after we had lost it all, Christ paid it all. Amen. We lost it all, and we owe the fine to God because we had committed cosmic treason with God. But then Christ came and died on Calvary, and he paid it all. And he was resurrected, and as we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, as he calls us, we get it all back. So, amen. When one becomes a Christian, you're born again. Notice, Nicodemus was talking to Jesus. He came to Jesus by night and said, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus went on and said, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. There's things that he can't know. He could not know God because he didn't have what it took. You have to be born again. Once a person accepts Christ, gets saved, he's born again instantly. And everything that he lost when man and man's fall, he gets back. The mind that he lost, that God had gave him to know God, amen, he lost it in the fall, but it gets back in his conversion. Amen. The heart that was created to love God, he lost it in the fall, but he received it back in conversion. And the will that man gave him to obey God, he lost it in the fall, but he gets it back in his conversion. The reason why he's able to get it back is because Christ paid it all, and now he can receive it all. So now that new man, spirit, his spirit is connected. See, you can have those of you that, you know, like nice entertainment systems or television system. You can go up to Best Buy and get you an 80 or 90 inch television with all the latest technology and bells and whistles. And have it mounted to your wall and get all the surround sound and everything that you could possibly want on that television. But what I'm trying to tell you is you can have all that, but if you don't have a power source, if you don't have it plugged in, or if you don't have lights on where you can get electricity from the electric company, I don't care how nice that television is not going to do what he was created to do. That's the way mankind was. God created us in his own image. But once we lost it all in the fall, we were disconnected from God, and therefore we couldn't be the people that God created us to be. But one day when we accepted Christ, he connected our spirit.
The spirit is the part of the man that connects with God first. And when his spirit is connected, that means you have spiritual life. You went from spiritually being spiritually dead to spiritual life. Because God, your spirit is connected with God. And God vivifies or brings alive your spirit. And then the spirit moves upon man's soul. And man's soul is that part of man that's the personality that has the mind and the heart and the will. So once that personality, amen, that spirit is connected, it influences it kind of brings a whole new flourishing of life in your personality. Now you have that mind back that knows God. Now you have that heart back that wants to love God. And now you have the will that wants to obey God. So with that mind, you can see God. Nicodemus couldn't even see the kingdom, because he wasn't born again. But once you're born again, converted, you got that reconnected in your spirit, and it flourishes into your whole personality. Now you can know God. So you can see God like you were supposed to see him. But not only that, with your heart, you can love God. And I like to use the word I'm talking about love. I mean savor him. You can savor him. You know, it's like tasting him. That's why the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And I'm trying to tell you, once you get, connection with God back and you're converted and you're born again, like never before, you can savor the goodness of God. You never knew God was that good until you get born again, until God changes your life and just do something amazing in your life. You never thought that was possible. But when he comes in, that becomes possible. So now you got a mind that can know God, you got a heart that can love God, and you have a will that can obey God. Oh, that's amazing. That's what happens to a person. That's why. So now it started in the spirit, and then it went to the soul, which is the personality that includes the mind, heart, and will. But it goes from there, because he said they're going to sanctify you in spirit, soul, and body. So what about how does the body become involved in this process as God is trying to sanctify us completely? Let me share that with you just a moment here. How that happens. In Romans 6, this kind of gives us how the part the body plays. It says, therefore, Romans 6, verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. 13, and do not present your members, your hands, your feet, your members. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Your body should now not be an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead. And your members now, your body now becomes an instrument for righteousness. So it started in the spirit. And then it impacted the soul. And now the body gets involved, and the body that was an instrument of unrighteousness becomes now an instrument of righteousness. God says, what I'm doing is I'm sanctifying you spirit, soul, body, completely. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. That he's able to take us through that whole entire process. Now he says, spirit, somebody be preserved. He gonna preserve the whole spirit, soul, and body. And all that is a growth process. It's already, you're already growing in Christ likeness in all those areas. But when Christ come back, you're going to be preserved. I like to use the word kept. You're going to be kept. And when Christ come back, amen, when he returns, you'll be found blameless. You'll be perfect. Right now, you're making progress. Hopefully, you're making progress. But when he comes back, we'll have perfect sanctification and we'll be just like him. He kept me. He kept me. Now, don't think you kept yourself. Because in this life, because of the world we live in, see, when you make an all-out commitment, are y'all listening to me? When you make an all-out commitment, you're going to have to deal, or you're going to experience an all-out confrontation. When a believer said, I'm going all out, I'm all in. When you make an all-in, I'm all in, God. When you make that all-in commitment, the enemy, Satan, the world, and the flesh is going to make an all-out conflict because you done changed sides. I've seen athletes that changed sides and went to other teams, and you know the one thing, that they can't wait to play the team they were on. But yeah, time for them. I can't wait. Now, when I had that game, the team that let me go. Well, I'm trying to tell you, when you go all in for Jesus, I'm going to tell you, the enemy going to come all out for you. So it's directly your confrontation with the Satan and the world and the flesh is directly in proportion to your commitment. If you halfway committed, the devil ain't too much worried about it because you ain't doing nothing for the kingdom anyhow. Well, I probably should have said that. Now, look at this. Because of that conflict, you're going to have some frustrations. You can have some things that happen in the emotional realm of your life. Yeah, you can have some things happen emotionally. You can have some heartaches. Sometimes you may have to deal with fear and discouragement and disappointment in what you perceive as unanswered prayer. Maybe somebody passed you thought shouldn't have died yet. So last night, that within this pandemic, and somebody had a sign on the apartment building that says no job, no rent. When you live in the world that we're living in, believers, sometimes things ain't gonna go your way. You're going to have some heartaches. And you're going to have some disappointments. You're going to have some disappointments with God sometime because he didn't come through like you thought he was going to come through, or because he didn't come through like you wanted him to come through. Or he didn't come in, his timing wasn't your timing. And you wonder why he's taking so long. And sometimes, you're going to be disappointed in yourself because you was sincere. You was honest. Your heart was in it. When you said, God, I'm all in. I'm all in, committed to you. You heard that sermon at church, or you heard that sermon at a conference, or somebody shared Christ with you. And the moment you were converted to Christ, you said, I'm with him. I'm following him all the way. You were just like Peter said, Lord, oh, no, I won't forsake you. I won't mind forsake you, but I'm right with you. And you know you'd been there. But just like Peter, as he was warming by the devil's fire, he denied Jesus three times. There's something happening in your life. You was committed. You were sincere about your commitment. But somehow you failed in some area. Or you disappointed God in some area. Something God called you and wanted you to do. And you've been saying no, God. Something God told you to let alone, move away from. And you kept moving forward toward it. And now as you move forward, maybe you fell into one of Satan's traps. And you've been trying to get out of that trap. And you disappointed your own self. And if it were left up to you, emotionally, you would have threw in the towel a long time ago. But God kept you. So, Minister Ernest sang it at our church time to time. And some of you probably already heard it before. And as I always say, I almost let go. I felt I couldn't take life anymore. My problems had me bound. Depression weighed me down. But I'm glad that's not the end of the story. But God held me close so I wouldn't let go. God's mercy kept me so I wouldn't go. So I wouldn't let go. They said, I almost gave up. I was right at the edge of a breakthrough, but I couldn't see. So I'm here today because, not because I'm so good, not because I kept myself, not because I'm so strong, but I'm here today because God kept me. I'm alive today because of His grace. Oh, He kept me. God kept me. He kept me so I wouldn't let go. Oh, I'm glad He's a God that can keep you. See, my brothers and sisters, I told you, I kind of named this, I call this message, Won't He Will. Won't He Will, because I was listening to, song Jesus Will, and I heard her sing it, Jesus Will, because He said that He would. And she was saying, yes, Jesus will. All right, all through the song, Anita Wilson, I think, and she was just singing. And then when she was at the end saying, I know that He will. Yes, Jesus will. And they said, I know that He will. And then finally she got to it got so good to her, and the Spirit got me, she just said, Won't He Will. Won't He will. Amen. Won't He will. Because if you had some experience with God, she didn't want to say the whole phrase no more. Everybody knows what you're talking about. That, amen. He'll do it because He said He'll do it, and He's a God that's faithful. Won't He will? Won't He keep you? Won't He take you through when you want to give up? When you want to throw in a towel, I'm glad our God is so strong. Our God is so strong that He's stronger than your ability to fall. You can't fall because you ain't strong enough to fall out of His hand. He'll keep you when you can't keep yourself. So don't think, amen, don't think you made it on your own. Because, amen, like I said, this life, when it throws at you, it's disappointments, it's heartaches, it's difficult times, it's unpredictable circumstances. It'll throw so much stuff on you, you just like feel it. But God won't let you. He'll keep you. He'll keep you. He'll keep you saved. Amen. Because if you had it on your own, you'd probably say, you'd probably stop following Him, but you can't. When you want to, when you want to give up on God, God won't give up on you. Hallelujah. He'll stay there with you through thick and thin in every circumstance that you have to deal with. What kind of God is this that we serve? He's a mighty God. But I want to tell you, if he said it, He's faithful. God has never said anything that He wasn't faithful to deliver. Listen, Verse 24 again. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Oh, my. Won't he do it? I think that Colton Hawthorne said, won't he do it? He said he would. So both of them together said, hey, won't he do it? And then they said, hey, won't he will? That's like a response. Because those both are rhetorical questions. Amen. Because you know, if somebody had been with God a little while and went through a few ups and downs, but God done kept them, you already know the answer when they say, won't he do it? You already know the answer when you hear that, won't he will? Because he will do it. You know he will. You are completely and totally convinced that your God will. It's not your battle. He'll fight your battle if you just stand still. Oh, you got to keep that in mind. Whatever battle you're going through, he'll come through. You just got to trust him. Somebody said, I was preparing for the seminar. I came across this. And we're talking about that, won't he do it? And someone said, won't he do it moment. A won't he do it moment is when God shows up in your life unexpectedly, without warning or notice, but with a whole lot of power and a whole lot of love and a whole lot of certainty, gently reminding you that he's still in total control. And you got to holler out, won't he do it? When you look back at it and see what God has done, you can't help but to testify it was him that did it. And it's that same God, my brothers and sisters, that takes us from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. Amen. If you own that road, it's going to be some bumps in that road, but I'm stopped by to tell you, won't he will? Yes, he will. He'll do it. Yes, Jesus will. He will do it. Yes, he will. I know he will. Won't he will? He will do it. He'll take you through. The reason why I know he'll take you through, because he done took me through. Anybody that's been on the road with Jesus long, any time, pretty long time, you know that he's able to take you through it, because that's the kind of God that he will. So listen, Paul is saying, hey, Paul said, I'm closing out now. I got to close it, but I want to tell you, I told y'all about them three ships, leadership, fellowship, and worship. I told you that's how you get from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity, but don't think it's just you. It's really God. That's why I'm praying for you in this benediction. I'm praying for him that he will, amen, that this great God, the God of peace himself, I'm praying that he'll sanctify you completely, and your whole spirit, soul, and body, it'll be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. Because when we see him, we will be like him. He who calls you is faithful, who also we'll do it. And then Paul said, I like what Paul says now. He done prayed for the disciples. He done prayed for the disciples, mate. And then Paul says, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for the team that's here sharing with you and teaching you. And that pray for us. Because Paul said, Paul realized, regardless of who you are, what position you hold, whether it's a high position or low position, what position you hold in the church, you still in the need of prayer. He realized that at a moment's notice, without prayer, amen, anything happens. So he said, pray for us, so we'll have be able to continue to minister. Pray for us, Paul says, because we need prayer, because we can't do this thing by ourselves. Won't he will, though? Won't he will? And then Paul said, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, don't get this kiss thing wrong, y'all. It says holy kiss. You know, some of y'all players don't be using this line because he says it's a holy kiss, not just any kind of kiss. And what Paul is saying is in the community, in the church community, there ought to be a holy closeness. A holy kiss was a physical demonstration of that holy closeness. Amen. It could be a hug at church, a handshake, or some kind of embrace. So he says, amen, there should be a physical embrace because you need a holy closeness when you're in a hostile climate. When you're living in a hostile climate, as the world that we live in, as believers, we need. That was a blessing about being in community physically, because you can experience a holy closeness that helps you with the hostile climate of our world. So he said that holy closeness, that physical embrace. But not only do you need a physical embrace, but he said, greet all the brethren with holy kiss. Then I said, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. So read the word of God. Encourage him out the word of God. So there's a physical embrace, but there's also a verbal encouragement as they read the word of God and see what a God is telling them to do, and encouraging them through his word. You ought to encourage others through his word. Now look at this last verse. Because I'm trying to get this message over. It's not us. I wish I can holler that from the rooftop so everybody know, as a believer, the thing that we accomplished, our growth. It's not us. It's not us. It's him. It's not us. It's him. It's him, my brothers and sisters. And verse 28 said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, man. Because Paul realized it was grace that brought us this far. We came this far, as the choir sang, by the grace of God. Wherever you are on God's program, wherever you are, whatever level of spiritual maturity you're at now, you didn't make it by yourself. It was God's grace. So don't get too arrogant or up on yourself and feel like a sense of entitlement. The only thing, you should be so thankful that you can reach back and help somebody else up. Be an encouragement. Serve somebody else because of what God has done for you. So he, in verse 23, said, talking about the God of peace, and then he ended with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he started out by saying peace, or grace and peace. Amen. The grace first, because you can't have peace without grace. Without God's grace, you can't enjoy God's peace. And then he closes. He reverses the order. He said the reason why you can experience the God of peace and you can be all God is going to do in your life is because of God's grace. So my brothers, as I close this book and close out today, I just want to tell you, won't he will? Won't he will? Yes, Jesus will. He will do it. Won't he do it? Won't he will? Yes, he will. Jesus will. He'll fight your battles if you just stand still. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. Whatever you're going through today, just remember, God will do it. You can trust him to do it. Trust him. Trust his timing. Trust God that God will do it. If his word said it, if he promised it, the same God will do it. Yes, Jesus will. Listen, close now. We know it's difficult. We know it's a difficult time we're going through in some
many ways. You need to know today that you can trust in God. And he'll bring you through. You need to know you can, at this time, God is able. He will. If you're here, if you're in our audience, and you're someone who's yet to accept Christ as Savior and Lord, today is a very good time for you to invite Christ into your life. He'll make a difference. Oh, if you get reconnected in your spirit, he'll transform your whole soul. You'll get that mind that can know him, that heart that can love him, and that will that can obey him. And that'll be expressed through you physically as you stop using your body and your instruments of your body as an instrument of unrighteousness, but your body will be a body that's involved in doing that righteousness as you worship God. Won't he will? He'll do it. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. For you, he'll change you today if you'll accept him as Savior. Say, Lord, I can't do this thing on my own. I can't die for myself. I can't pay for my own sin. But the pastor said, you paid for him on Calvary, and I want my relationship with you. I want you to change me from the inside out. And I know if you want him to do it, he'll do it. He'll change you from the inside out. So think about that. Think about that. If you need help with that, amen, just I think there's a place where you can write into us. Amen. You can always call us at 903-915-0865, and we'll share with you. Now, we're going to have a song while you think about that, and then after the song, we'll come back and close out for today. So just listen up and let God minister you as we listen to this selection.
I know.
Jesus will. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We're about ready to sign off for the day. We hope you enjoyed the podcast with us today, and certainly appreciate all of you that are chimed in with us and joined in with us today. Hope we've said something that encouraged you. Just know that Jesus will. He will take care of us. And we're about ready to leave you. Hope you have a great afternoon. We just want to, I don't know who's going back, who's already been at school, but this is a week that a lot of, some of you went back to school last week and more of you are going this week. So we want to just pray as we leave for you before we sign off today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for being the kind of God you are. Powerful. Awesome, in authority, God. You speak and the whole world moves as you speak, God. You speak it into existence. It's all, it obeys your every command. We know you have total sovereignty and total control. So we trust you because we know you're on our side. You're for us. You're not against us. You're for us. We appreciate it so very much, God, what you're doing. God, we just thank you. Bless all those kids. Keep them safe. We know the pandemic's still alive. Amen. But we know you can put your protection around them and you can guard them. And just like it could in the Old Testament against soldiers, human beings, I know you can also do it with viruses, God. So we just pray, God, that you protect them and let this be let them focus and not be distracted too much by the situation, but to try to keep themselves safe if possible and then be able to focus on their work, God, and be students and move forward in their classroom with the learning as they can. So we pray that, God. We also pray for Brandon today. And God, we just pray that the situation that he's experiencing, that you would just do a miracle for him. Do a miracle, something miraculous in his situation, God. We know you're a good God, and we know you love him just as much as we do. So we pray for him and all our children and our adults, God. We pray for all of our adults that are healing, all our adults that's moving forward, God. And we just pray for their safety. And we know a lot of them have to go into work situations where their possibility of an exposure. So God, just protect them also. We just pray for our country. Our country's in rough shape right now. So we just pray for the upcoming election and just, God, put the person that you would have in office, God, and heal the land. Help us after the land is healed to realize you healed it and to stay on the right path and to seek righteousness as we should have already been seeking. We bow to you, God, with all our lives about serving and glorifying you. So God, we give it to you today. We put it in your hands so we might enjoy your peace. Thank you for your son that loved us so much. He died for us. We appreciate that so very much. Thank you, Lord. All right. Okay. What are we trying to? Okay. What are we trying to do? Okay. All right. So, Sister Calvin, Sister Corliss is saying that they're not going to be a memorial, no service, but a memorial later. Amen. Due to the pandemic. So that's being prayer until we get more information about that. So there'll be a memorial at a later date, but because of the pandemic, we won't be having, they won't be having, the family won't be having a service at this particular time. God is good still. So just being uplift them in prayer. Good to see all of you that came in today. Y'all have a great day. We're finna sign off. Try to be of service to somebody. Try to help somebody. And it's always a blessing in being a blessing. Have a great day.